Welcome to Wrong Opinions Only. This is your co-host, special guest, best friend, Swarly. And then the other two hosts.
Hi there, hey, Swarly.
How you guys doing?
Are you just going to host the whole thing today? I kind of like this.
This is going to be a solo podcast of just me telling you about my thoughts and feelings on how the world is and how we can better ourselves.
I don't know if I'm emotionally stable enough to handle that.
Yeah, no one wants to listen to that, Craig. No one wants to hear about the betterment of the world. Get out of here.
Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Yes. Oh my God, yes. That's right.
What are we discussing? What are we doing today?
So many questions.
I'm so excited.
This is what happens when Swarly opens up the pod. Chaos ensues. Nobody knows.
I'm an agent of chaos.
Yes, that is absolutely true. All right, as Craig said, we are here together again. Craig, so happy to have you on. It's been like forever. It's been a year. I mean, it's 2024.
Oh, how dare you. Get out of here with that.
Crazy. Insane.
It's been a couple months at least.
And we wanted to kind of do one of these early 2024 pods to give out recommendations for the year. Everybody's changing around their streaming services. Maybe they're dropping some of the original ones or they're consolidating now. So we wanted to go with three of the ones that we use the most and give a couple recommendations from each of us for all of our listeners to dive into.
I think that's exactly right. It was a good idea on your part, Justin, because at the end of the week, I always get people who stop on my office and are like, what should I watch? And at this point, sometimes I know what streaming services they have. So I'm like, oh, you only have Netflix here. Check out this. And sometimes I'm like, I don't know. You know, I've watched so many things that it's hard to go back into the Rolodex of shows if I was just getting into Netflix. So I think this is going to be a good episode. And hopefully we let you guys know about a bunch of episodes, shows that you haven't watched before and you might get into.
Yeah, and if this goes well, maybe it's a little bit of a series where we do Netflix, Hulu, and Max for today's recording. And if we get good feedback, we'll hop over to the other streaming services since 92% of the things I watch are on Apple TV. So,
oh, the B squad of the streaming services. Gotcha.
Apple TV is now A squad. I'm telling you.
Made the jump. I'm sorry.
You know, for you, for sure. I think the real struggle is going to be you trying to get down to three shows for Apple TV because you've seen like 50 of them on there. Oh, wait, they probably only have 10.
Yeah, my list will just have to be like 24 for Apple TV. Yeah, I won't be able to narrow it down.
Yep, struggle. All right, so let's have a couple questions here because streaming, you know, is huge. However, there's been a lot of changes, I think, in the past year that may be changing people's opinion on how great streaming services are instead of cable. So first of all, what do you guys think about the streaming wars since more networks started their own? I mean, some are combining, but now, I mean, there's every little channel, subsect of whatever has its own streaming channel that you can go on. What do you guys think? Is it too large of a competitive pool or is it not enough?
I think there's way too much stuff out there. It's very intimidating how much content is out there to watch. And I think the amount of streaming services doesn't help. I think you have quantity over quality and you're not getting, you know, good quality shows.
Well said. They're trying to throw out too much stuff. So it's lacking in quality and spots now. And I think we're starting to see the consolidation happen more where, you know, obviously Max is multiple different, you know, larger companies melded into one at this point. They're talking about the Disney, Hulu, ESPN, their bundling situation. They may be bringing on more people. So I think we're going to see more and more of this consolidation where it lands with maybe four major streamers left in a couple years. And then the rest are just going to either fall out or have to merge with the bigger ones.
Oh, that's for sure. And I also think, you know, I used to harp on Netflix a lot, still kind of do, where I could see one movie appear, you know, something you might like on a Friday, and by Saturday, I can't find it anymore because it's already lost in the like 10 other like movies or shows that came after it. And I'm like, wait, where's the thing I kind of wanted to see before? And I find that even though it's great that I think a lot of different networks are joining together, like an HBO Max and some of the more Saudi reality shows and everything like that, But then that gets convoluted. Now I'm looking at Max like, wait, where's the Max Originals or where is this? And so on the one hand, it's great to have, you know, not have the three different streaming things for my reality TV and my prestige TV. But at the same time, now I feel like other streaming sites are getting kind of inundated with options.
Exactly. Like you're trying to go watch The Sopranos and all you're getting is Duck Dynasty.
Great example.
Well said there. And I know for at least Kayla and myself as part of this pod, we're trying to give recommendations of shows that we have not explicitly talked about on the podcast previously, which frankly narrowed our list down substantially because I know it's crazy, but we talk about shows we really like on the pod all the time. So today it's going to be those shows that one of us are big fans of, but the other isn't. So we don't like to throw those on the main pod. We like to be able to go back and forth on the main pod and not just, you know, talk isolated for 20 minutes at a time.
Except for my list that is literally the mainstream of shows that you can find top of the page as soon as you open the app. Hey, watch this. That's my list.
Hey, that works because that does not always overlap with our list. So we're trying to get that diversity out here now. And we all have a little bit of different tastes. And I think it'll be good to have all three of us here to see where we land.
Absolutely. And speaking of streaming services, do you guys have a favorite one? I know this is hard because in a day you could be bouncing between a couple of them. But is there one like every time I go on this first? Like I check this streaming service first because if there's something good on here, I'm going to watch it.
Well, I think for me, it's a little difficult because I have Hulu is now basically my cable. So I default go to that because that's what I use for my main TV and recordings as well. But as far as shows that I watch regularly, I mean, I say it a lot, it's Apple TV. But if it's not Apple TV, then probably Hulu is the next one up there.
I would say my first one that I open up to see, you know, what's new, what's on there is Netflix. But I think my favorite has to be Max just for the sheer quality of shows that they have. I mean, they don't have...
Yeah, everything they do is top notch.
Exactly. I mean, it started with HBO and, you know, then they got everything else. But they've always been ahead of the game since the 90s as far as their shows and their content.
I actually agree with Craig. I mean, Netflix is still the one, you know? And I often go on there because usually there's like a new docuseries that dropped or like a new movie or even like maybe a movie I've been really trying to see, even in this prestige time of the Oscars, that, you know, comes to Netflix and then I'm going to check it out. So Netflix is probably the first one I check. But when I'm kind of going to my old favorites, like I'm going to Max and I'm going to rewatch, you know, Game of Thrones again. So I'm with you there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Max, like if I really want to watch something good, it's just... The quantity on Max is less because, like Craig mentioned earlier, they focus on quality. So there's less things that come out regularly. And I don't know how many times I'll sit there on Netflix or Hulu for an hour, hour and a half, and just search through everything and add things to my list without actually watching anything. And that's just as fun sometimes. You're like, oh, let me watch the trailer for this. Oh, this looks kind of interesting. And then you just never actually get to a show.
You know when it's not fun? When you're with like extended family and you all decide you want to watch a movie and then you're just watching like people who have the most opposite interest trying to settle on a movie. And then for 4 hours, you all decide like you fought enough that you don't want to watch a movie anymore. So, or is that just me?
No,
I think you're right there. If people are like staying over and we have to find something to watch together, it's very difficult to be like, all right, well, do you watch this? No. Are you into this? No, I want to watch this. I don't give a shit about that. So where can
And then you end up falling back to a show that you've watched 100 times before. Like everyone in the group has watched 100 times before. So you're not as excited about watching something new, but you're just like, oh, this is familiar and everyone's okay with it. So we'll just watch this instead.
Exactly. You put on an old movie that everybody likes or an old TV show that everybody's seen a million times and it's just a comfort.
That's it, Craig, because I am often the one having to concede because it's just like I can't stand this hour that we're wasting trying to find a movie. And that's how I ended up seeing Hypnotic, the horrible Ben Affleck movie. So thank you to my parents because that was an hour and a half of time I'll never get back and regret still.
Are you going to review that right now?
I think that was our worst movie of the year. Did we pick a like worst movie or something? Because I don't know, that would have won.
Yeah, I think her her review is what she said. It was horrible. Terrible, and she can't take that time.
It's not even worth the review for other people to listen to it. And, you know, streaming sites definitely, I think even in the past year, have gone up. Extreme. I mean, some of them I'm like, are we creeping at $20 on some of these streaming sites? So do you guys commit to things year round, or do you have a lot of start and stops, meaning like, you know what, this month I'll do Apple, but next month I'll do Paramount, and oh, this show's coming out in the summer, so I'll start it then. Do you barter between streaming sites?
I generally stay on them for pretty much the whole year. I know, like HBO Max recently, I was like, maybe I'll cancel this for a few months until House of the Dragon or some other shows come back. And then I looked and I bought the year subscription to save money. So, and then Amazon Prime, that's a year thing as well. So I just, Hulu is now my cable. So that is month to month. But for the most part, I stick to them. And the only ones I really cut off are the ones on the fringes. So Paramount Plus and Peacock and those types of ones, maybe I get for a month to watch two things, get it over with, and then cancel it. But the major ones I stick pretty much the whole time.
Yeah, that exactly. We get Max through AT&T for free, so we don't have to worry about that.
Jealous.
I know, that's kind of nice. And Netflix is, I mean, we pay year round for that because they're always coming out with new stuff. And I just don't have the attention span to cancel and then renew and cancel and renew. And next thing I know, I have 100 subscriptions going on, and it's chaos. So I just generally, whatever I like to watch, I leave it there. And then if there's I think Paramount Plus was the only one that I did the free trial and then canceled right after I watched, like, I think it was like the 3 South Park specials that I got it for, and just canceled it.
Yeah. Peacock and Apple are probably the ones that I flip-flop. I know it hurts you, Justin, the most. Paramount is pretty like in the Rolodex though of the streaming sites I go to often. So I watch a lot of like reality TV shows, and that's where most of them are housed these days. So that's a big one, but honestly, I forget what I have. I never want to look at my bank account to see how many are going out a month, because it would scare me. So denial is where I sit and spend my time. And yeah, it's hard. It's just because the minute I feel like you cancel, next week you find out something you want to see is coming out. So it's like, oh, that sucks, you know?
Happens all the freaking time. All right, I canceled Paramount Plus a week later. Oh, hey, everybody's talking about this, or maybe it's on Peacock, that Traitors show everybody's talking about. I'm like, oh, cool. I heard about that 3 days after I canceled my subscription, and I'm not going to bring it back just for that one show.
I will say, at though, Traitors fucking rocks. So it is worth the hype. It's freaking awesome.
All right, you can take my Apple TV login, and I'll take your Peacock. And
that's a great transition to my last question in this discussion, which is, what do you think about the password sharing crackdown? You and I had a discussion not too long ago about how we pay for so many of these and we watch the same stuff together. Let's start sharing. And I just recently heard, along with Netflix already doing it, I had shared Netflix with Sam, our friend Sam, since high school. And so it was very humbling to have to get my own Netflix account. And then I recently heard that Hulu, who is it? It's Disney and Hulu are going to put something in their terms of services where you can't password share. And I don't know if that's going to look similar to Netflix or it's more of a penalty thing. I don't know how that's going to be enforced, but what do you guys think about all this?
I don't like it. Just frankly, I don't like it. It's, that's what streaming was. You had a subscription, and then you would be able to share it with your friends, and everyone got to watch the content, and everyone got to rave about the shows. And didn't Netflix retract their password crackdown a bit, or no? I could have, no?
They did at one point. They got a lot of pushback on it, and then so they paused for like not doing it for a year, and then they actually ended up doing it, what, like a year ago, 6 months ago? So, and it drove a lot more revenue, at least for the first year. So the shareholders were very happy with that decision.
All right. Because I was a part of that, and I knew that my mother-in-law uses my Netflix account. And then she was getting notifications about, you know, the IP address and yada, yada. And then I think they did something where you can have a sub profile now under the main profile, which is only like, I think you can pay an extra $5 to access the full content under the main profile or something like that, which that's a decent compromise, I think.
Yeah, having like a little bit of a tiered approach where more people can access it is where we're all going here. I personally, like you though, really love the time where, okay, I can watch this anywhere. I can give this to anybody for them to watch a show. And you had the max number of screens that could be on at any one time. And that works because it's like, okay, not more than two people can watch this because I'm not going to be able to access my own damn account because I gave it out to too many friends. So that was what was kind of keeping us semi in check for a while. So now with this, it's like, all right, well, I'm not going to pay for the additional screens since you're not going to allow me to use this outside of my damn home anyway.
But I also feel like we as people were kind of our own check because like you're saying, like, yeah, you would give it out. But I also felt like I was very careful who I was giving it out to. So like my algorithm didn't get messed up or like, you know, eventually sometimes it would say, hey, you have too many screens. And then I'd be like, oh, I gave it to like 10 people. So I was always very careful about who I was sharing it with. And it was often a tit for tat, like you give me this and I'll give you that. So like it wasn't like someone just saying, hey, here's 20 people, here's my login, you right. know?
It was usually a one for one where, you know, I give you my Netflix, you give me your Hulu, but we have a different profile on each streaming service for each other. So you can have, you know, up to how many profiles on Netflix, 4 or 5, I think. Maybe right. I don't know how many, but so you don't ruin the algorithm that way, which was nice.
I just think it's so funny because
you don't ruin the algorithm that way if the people are just not, I don't want to say smart enough, but pay attention enough to go to their own damn profile. Right. Oh. I feel like my mom or my grandma or somebody else on my Netflix goes into my profile and it throws things off and I don't know what's going on. I'm like, you have your own profile set up. Just go to your damn profile.
I was not watching the British Baking Cook-Off.
Sister Wives. I was not on episode 3 yet. I was on 12. Yeah. So it just is funny. Like something like Hulu, when it first started, I remember I was in college and the whole premise was that it was free. It was like free TV. And it was like, so the ads were really funny. And that existed for quite a while until all of a sudden it was like, a couple dollars, $5, and now it's just like $17.99, and you get the ads, and it's like sitting through ads sometimes on Hulu, which I do because I have it through my phone service. I get Hulu, Disney, and ESPN Plus, which is, I thought, not worth it, but then when it went up another like $6, I was like, oh my God, I'm glad I got this. And it's just outrageous, you know, when you're talking about $15 up on some of these streaming sites and they're just getting higher and higher. And if anything, they're taking less of what you used to have, like sharing it among different people and having it be ad free. I mean, a lot of that's being taken out of some of these, even like smaller networky streaming sites. So it sucks.
That was a thought that I had. Do you feel like the streaming services, mainly like Max and Netflix, that didn't have ads in their streaming services, do you think they had an advantage over the other competitors as far as like gaining the revenue and applying that towards their content rather than relying on advertisers? And
yeah, I think that helps you build in your own internal library, which gives you more leverage down the line because you have your own stuff and you're bringing the eyes in. And then once you have built up that base enough, then it's a lot easier to make changes because you're not going to lose everybody.
Right.
I just, as we're talking about this, I think yesterday when I went on Prime, I got a notification that said, we are now going to be putting ads on Prime videos so you can upcharge an extra $3 a month to not have the ads. I'm like, what the, like everybody's doing the same thing and it's getting really annoying and you have to be a little budget conscious here, especially when it looks like HBO or Max has been licensing some of their shows out to Netflix and Hulu. Mm-hmm. So now Netflix has a lot of like HBO Max shows. So you're like, if they're there, why am I paying for both of these? But it's not all the stuff, but it's some of the stuff. So it's just so freaking confusing.
At what point is it just going to be one big streaming service like cable? And we're just going to be paying $120 a month for everything.
It's coming.
Yeah,
it's coming.
It's cable. We're going back to cable. It's
so cyclical.
Stupid. And you know what it's going to be? It's going to be more expensive.
I know.
because everybody bitched, and now it's going to be like, okay, cool, you can have all this stuff for $300 a month instead of the $100 you used to pay.
Yeah, it's no longer kind of frugal to, you know, I'm not going to get cable, I'm just going to do streaming. And now it's like, holy hell. And I mean, so much so that even the stations like Showtime no longer exists. It is now Paramount Plus with Showtime. You no longer can go to the Showtime app and get to things. It's all kind of blended with Paramount. So
good, because that Showtime app was dog shit.
It was bad.
Like for the longest time. It was so bad. But Showtime on Paramount is an add-on to Paramount. So you can get Paramount for $6. But if you want Paramount with Showtime, it's $10 or $12 or whatever it is. So it's like, what the hell?
And the setup of Prime always annoys me because it like doesn't always tell you that this is like an add-on. Apple does this too. It's an add-on, and that, or it's not like included in your Prime subscription. So you go to like, oh, awesome, this is available, and then it's like to buy $12.99. I'm like, what the, what the hell? So it's a wild world of streaming right now. But we're gonna go ahead and talk about some of our recommendations for the streaming sites that we're gonna give you, which is Netflix, Hulu, and Max. So these are gonna be TV shows that we're recommending. We're gonna give you a premise about what it's about without spoiling it for you, who we think might enjoy these shows, and why we like it. Let's go. Then you maintain the status.
Where are you from? Atlanta, Fulton County. All right, we're gonna go through my Netflix list. First off, we have Ozark. Awesome show. After a money laundering scheme for a Mexican drug cartel goes wrong, financial advisor Marty Bird proposes to make amends by offering to set up a bigger laundering operation in the Lake of the Ozarks region in central Missouri. Awesome show. Next, we have The Witcher. Story follows Geralt of Rivia, Crown Princess Cirilla of Sintra, and the quarter-elf sorceress Yennefer of Vengerberg. At different points in time, exploring formative events that shape their characters throughout the first season before eventually, I don't want to spoil it, but you know, it gets really, really good. And the last we have Mindhunter. In the late 1970s, two FBI agents broaden the realm of criminal science by investigating the psychology behind murder and end up getting close to real life monsters.
Great list of three, Craig, and some of those, especially The Witcher, like if you didn't pick it, that 100% would have been on my list because I just cruised through that with the wifey in like a week's time. Mm-hmm. Great show, especially for the D&D nerds out there. That's like right up your alley.
I was very, I know it's based on the book, which is also based on the video game, which got turned into a TV series. So there's a lot of source material that went into the first couple seasons, and it was really well done, I think, for the first three seasons.
Yeah, season four will be interesting because there's the lead has left, but they're going to have to bring in somebody else to fill his shoes.
Yeah, Henry Cavill has left, and then they're bringing in, which Hemsworth are they bringing
Liam?
In?
Liam.
Liam. One of the lesser Hemsworth.
The lesser Liam Hemsworth, that's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, put a little, you know, respect on the Hunger Games, Liam, okay? You know, just saying.
He was a piece of shit in those movies.
Wow. Okay, we can't spin off on Hunger Games discourse today, okay? All right, we can't end it there. Ozark, interesting. People love this show at my workplace. They always talk about it. However, I can't effing stand, what's his name? I've never gotten his humor.
Why? I can't stand Jason Bateman, and that's why I haven't covered it on the show, because Kayla thinks Jason Bateman is just Jason Bateman and everything.
Yeah, but Jason Bateman's fantastic, which is an accurate statement, but he's amazing, so why wouldn't you play
yourself? But I beg to differ. Exactly. I don't get him.
It's
I
good, get Kayla.
Did you guys watch Mindhunter?
Yes.
One of my favorite shows on Netflix. So good. I was so pissed when they did not renew it because Fincher wanted out. And I mean, he's just an unbelievable director.
I am chronically online. And it's funny because this was such a beloved show despite only being two seasons. And it has been a few years since it was on. And constantly talking about how much money it costs, that basically Netflix was like, we can't afford to keep doing the show at this cost. And then Fincher was like, well, that's what it's going to take. And I would say every 6 months, Fincher says something else about this show. Like he's still constantly asked about, could there be a season 3 and all this stuff. So I constantly feel like he has a new line about it, which makes me laugh and really speaks to how great of a show it is. I have the book, which was a really good read, you know, basically this group formulated what serial killers were and interview them. And I just think that's a crazy, you know, beginning of FBI history. So yeah, that's a great show. Good pick, Craig.
And it ended on, like, there was still a lot of stuff unfigured out. Well, that wasn't the right way to say that, but you know what I mean.
I knew exactly what you meant. A lot of open-ended
things. Yeah. I was speaking smartly there for a second.
Such a bummer. Okay, those are good picks. Anything else? Who do you think is, you know, a good audience for these movies or shows? Excuse me.
That's a good question. Me, I'm the best person who likes these shows. Honestly, someone who likes fantasy and just exploring the dark depths of the mind and where it can take somebody. That's it.
I just want to leave a little silence there for that, Craig.
There's always a little silence.
There is. Happy to have you on, Craig. Great picks. Okay.
How long has it been since I've done this? How long? It's been months? Months, I think?
Months. It doesn't show at all. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and go into my Netflix picks, which is Griselda, The Queen's Gambit, and The Ultimatum Queer Love. So Griselda came out this year, so it's fairly new. So if you haven't got a chance to see it at the top page of Netflix, who knows? Like I said, it could have gone four pages deep now.
Before you go into in-depth Griselda, did you see some of the marketing campaign where they had the big truck going through LA with Griselda Netflix on the side, and there was a big straw that was snorting up lines of white powder in the street? Look it up. Maybe I'll post it to our story or something. It was hilarious.
Okay, absolutely. Well, again, another bummer that we don't live in a place where we can see that going down, you know, our streets, but that's great. So it came out recently, stars Sofia Vergara as Griselda Blanco, a powerful crime boss. It's all a true story. Follows her rise in the Miami drug scene and her pursuit of power and wealth. The show starts off with a quote, and it says, it's from, oh my goodness, who's the most famous drug lord? Pablo Escobar. And so it's a quote just in black and white. And it says, the only man I was ever afraid of was a woman named Griselda Blanco. And that just sets you right into like, oh my God, who is this woman that I personally have never heard about? So it just is so well done. Sofia Vergara is so good in this show. So believable. Like, and it's only a couple episodes, like five or six. So it's a quick kind of watch through, and it has a lot of cliffhangers. So it's very good. Like, you're watching a first episode and going, oh my God, I can't believe that just happened next. And it moves pretty quick into kind of her rise and how she got going and her eventual downfall. So this is great for any crime fan. So I highly recommend this. If you're a fan of Sofia Vergara, you want to see her do something differently than kind of the Modern Family era. But this was like a really surprising watch for me, and I enjoyed it. Queen's Gambit, I'm sure we've lightly referenced this show before. This is a five-star show for me, meaning that I have no notes. This is an amazing watch. I rewatch it every year, and I find something new in this show every year, which is, you know, not easy in some of the TV shows out right now. It's basically a coming-of-age period drama. Begins in the 1950s, follows the life of Beth Harmon, that's a fictional chess prodigy, on the rise to the top of the chess world while struggling with a drug and alcohol dependency. It's a limited series, one season, and I love the show. Like, truly, I could spend a whole episode on how much I love this show. And just a fantastic show, really. And I think this is for anyone who, like, is into history, is into badass women, which I guess is the past two shows that I referenced. What's the theme there? I don't know. And
or just brilliant. Yes. Like, one of my things is I love watching shows where there's just like somebody who's on like a higher plane of intellect than everybody else, and such a fun
and she's
show to
so
Justin
good.
Sees himself in those shows all the time.
No, that's what I aspire to be, but I'm not even that. You know, I'm like, man, why can't I be like that? Damn.
Anna Taylor-Joy is so
Mom
good
and
in
Dad,
it, too.
Give me better genes.
It's so good. So, yeah, I highly recommend The Queen's Gambit. And then the other one is just for the reality show, folks, because, you know, you're out there. I hear you. I talk about it with some people at work. I got them into this show, and it just was a fun thing to gossip about and laugh at the scenarios that happen. It's The Ultimatum Queer Love, and it's actually a second season in the Ultimatum premise, I guess, umbrella of the show. I think the first season was straight couples, and then this season's queer couples. It's a social experiment that wants to see how many couples will get married when presented with an ultimatum. So essentially a bunch of couples, one has been like, basically, we need to get married or we're over. Like, we need to kind of take that next step or I'm out. So they all get together. Then they all kind of meet each other as a group, and then they have to pick someone else to basically live with for 3 weeks. And so it's kind of like they're testing the waters to see if, you know, am I really looking for someone else, or is it just me being afraid of commitment? Whatever. All I'm going to say is, when it comes to queer couples, the drama is so delicious. I mean, these people are insane at the behavior they do, the cry fest, the fight. I mean, some of them are like, the friends are like, what are you doing? Like, you have this great person and you're with, who's this person? I mean, so fun. Some of them like had an initial attraction and then they start living together and they realize like they're completely not, you know, it does not work out whatsoever. Their personalities are so different. One person's like, my dog sleeps in my bed every night. You have to be okay with that. And she's like, I'm allergic. It's insane. It's so funny. They already started casting like mid of the season because it was so popular. So I highly recommend it if you're into drama and messiness in relationships like I am. So The Ultimatum, Queer Love. And that wraps up my Netflix recommendations.
Okay. So are you replying to be on that show? Is that what you're saying?
I need someone to give me an ultimatum first, but I'm actually would say no. And then I say, we have to go on the show first. Okay. Thanks.
I will say, if you really enjoy the Griselda show, which I have not watched yet, I bet you would like the Cocaine Cowboys documentaries, which is about that whole like rise of those cartel, I believe down in the Miami area. And fun fact, I actually heard on a podcast an interview with Griselda's son, because he's trying to get, I don't know, his own show or podcast or something up to tell the true story, and how the Netflix show is a little bit over the top and it didn't all quite go down that way. And his name is Michael Corleone. Yeah, just ridiculous. So she named her son Michael Corleone, which, if you guys know, The Godfather. So that's just
perfect, yeah, that's a right? Boss bitch move right there. So I got nothing to say on that.
So he's not Italian, but he's named Michael Corleone.
Yeah. Well, what's her last name, Kayla?
Blanco. The Griselda. The person.
Yeah. So his name is Michael Corleone Blanco.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's just like, she clearly was like, well, I'm this badass cocaine dealer, I'm just going to name my son after The Godfather.
I mean, that's a power move.
Yeah.
That's a massive sick. Power move.
All right, well, I guess it's time for me to go into my Netflix shows here. So my three Netflix shows, tough to narrow it down, but I went with a couple different varieties here. Peaky Blinders, Shameless, and The 100. So Peaky Blinders, this came out in 2013, 6 seasons, 6 episodes per season. I have just been binging through this like crazy lately. I'm through the first 4 seasons. I can't get enough of it. It's this epic story about the rise of this gangster family in 1900 England called the Peaky Blinders. And the head of their family is Cillian Murphy, a.k.a. Tommy Shelby. And it's just a real fun show to get into because you have that 1900s feel. They are in this real downtrodden small heath area in Birmingham, England, where they're basically doing all of the blacksmithing, all of like the grunt work. It's a real like blue collar type town. And this little kind of gangster family who's doing really small minor, you know, things at first, like running an illegal sports gambling book, trying to fix races. They start really small. And then the leader of the family, Tommy Shelby, starts kind of expanding out and trying to gain more influence and more power. And it's just a real fun show to kind of watch go through those, at least the first 4 seasons that I've seen.
Is this an Irish Sons of Anarchy?
I think
British.
It's similar. It's got a similar vibe to it. It's just, I think, better because it's more condensed, like higher quality than Sons of Anarchy. And I do love Sons of Anarchy, but that's had to be expanded out for long 20 episode seasons, right? And I think that ended up being like 8 or 9 seasons. So Peaky Blinders is a little tighter.
Cillian Murphy. Better in Oppenheimer, better in Peaky Blinders.
Honestly, both roles are got similar vibes to him. Oppenheimer, he's going to win Best Actor. So you got to give it to him for Oppenheimer, but he's a badass in Peaky Blinders.
I love that show. It's
so good. And this is one I have to watch by myself because my wife won't watch it with me. So I'm just like finding every minute I can to watch it on the side. Next up on my list was Shameless. So Shameless, I'm sure a lot of people have heard of Shameless, but this is now on Netflix. It used to be on Showtime, so a bit of a barrier to entry when it was on Showtime. But now that it's on Netflix, a lot more people can see it. 11 seasons, 134 episodes. Holy shit. And how do you describe Shameless? It's basically about a dysfunctional Chicago family that's doing whatever they can to get by. And that's basically what it is. And they extend out into a whole bunch of chaos that happens in this kind of downtrodden area of Chicago. You have Emmy Rossum plays the lead woman in the family. Jeremy Allen White, this is where he got his big break, playing Lip Gallagher. Similar vibes to him in The Bear. You know, he's kind of this, you know, genius kid, but is in this kind of shit family and does whatever he needs to get by and doesn't really care about his intellect. William H. Macy plays the head of the family, Frank Gallagher, who's just a massive drunk and constantly getting into trouble. It's just a real fun show you can dive into and just casually watch for 11 seasons. So I watched the first 7 or 8, which were pretty good. The first 5 were really good. Then it starts tapering off. The last couple I did not watch. It feel like it kind of, you know, jumped the buck there after season 7 or 8, but highly recommend at least getting through the first handful.
I think they struggled with, you know, obviously if you're on a show a long time, you kind of want to start doing other things. You had some of the core cast start to leave. Some came back, found out that the grass wasn't greener on the other side and like came back the following season. But what I just want to also stress on the show is that it has such of the most fucked up humorous scenes that you're just like, oh my God, I can't believe they're doing this. And then you have some scenes that are so devastatingly sad and emotional and like really well stated that, and a show that can do both to me is like fantastic. So I definitely am with you on Shameless.
Yeah, it like gets really serious and in depth in some moments. And it's also a comedy a lot of the time where they're doing just these ridiculous things or they're having like these little mini heists or something. But then you do have to dive into like the family dynamics, and this family's very loyal to each other and just trying to get out of this predicament that, you know, their parents and predecessors have put them in. And my last on my list was The 100. You may have heard Kayla or I mention this a few times throughout the pod. This is, I'm not going to say the best quality show that's ever existed. All right. But just a real fun watch. There are 7 seasons, 100 episodes. The premise is 97 years after nuclear war destroyed civilization, a spaceship sends 100 teenagers back down to Earth to see if it's inhabitable or not. So basically, the United Nations had all the nations together. They sent a spaceship up to sky because they knew nuclear war was about to happen. And this is 100, almost 100 years later, trying to figure out if it's inhabitable. The first 2 seasons are phenomenal. You will not want to wait until you go to that next episode. The next 2 after that are pretty solid, and then it completely falls off a cliff. So don't even care about the last 2 to 3 seasons, guys, but just watch the first 4 at a minimum. Kayla's giving me a look. You really like the last couple seasons?
No, listen. Okay, I want to say that I feel like as the origin of the 100, meaning that I had started watching this show and had brought you guys into it and had to suffer when the show kind of fell off of it and had to be like, well, it was really good when it was good. The other ones have their moments. I guess I don't want to say that it's just like unwatchable in the end. It's just, you know, they really struggled. And I don't even know, is the CW even a channel anymore? I don't know.
I don't think so.
The 100 may have like caved it in. That might have been his last show. But damn, when this show was good, we were all talking about it. It was fantastic. So, yeah.
And conveniently, it's got 100 total episodes across 7 seasons.
I was just going to say that. I was like, does it really only have 100 only? Does it have 100 episodes being called the 100? That's
exactly
pretty good.
Exactly 100. They must have planned that out after a certain point. They're like, let's just end on 100 here.
Either that or they suffered to get to 100.
Well, yeah, you kind of do get that vibe. But I like having the first season, especially the mental exercise of if you are put down on Earth with nothing else around you, how are you going to survive and start a civilization from scratch, especially when it's a whole bunch of asshole teenagers? So you got people that are trying to kind of run things, trying to be the cool folks. And then there's the other ones like, let's party and just eat all of our food and drink booze because we have no supervisors here. And then you realize you actually need to find a way to survive and hunt and gather food and make shelter. So it's a real fun first few seasons for sure.
The 100, I know Kate was watching the 100 for a little bit and she enjoyed it. I watched a few episodes and so I caught tidbits, but it seemed okay. So from what I saw, I liked it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. Depending on what season you watch.
I don't know which one. I was literally like, I was like, what are you watching? Oh, I'm watching the 100. Okay, cool. And then I like watched for 10 minutes and all right, see you later. And I got up and walked away.
It was a really well done CW show the first few seasons. And then it like became really CW.
I think they just...
I know how, yeah. I'm watching Supernatural right now, so I know exactly how the CW thing is going on.
Oh, there you go. Yes, there you go. Yeah. It's most successful, I think, of the CW show. Certainly it's most long running.
Oh my God, yeah.
Great stuff. So check those out, everyone, on Netflix. Craig, why don't you go ahead and start us off on the Hulu shows that you need to watch?
So for Hulu, we're going to start off with Reservation Dogs. I think you covered this before. Am I right, Kayla?
Yes. One of the ones that, you know, I had to kind of cover myself because Justin hasn't, I don't know if he's interested in it, but just hasn't watched it yet. And so it was just too great of a show to just not speak of it at all. So go ahead, Craig.
Right. So to recap, the series follows the lives of four indigenous teenagers, the Rez Dogs, in rural Oklahoma, in a small town of the Muscogee Nation, where they spend their days committing crime and fighting it. Their friend Daniel, who dreamed of moving to California, died 1 year before the events of the show. And I have to say, this show moved me in a lot of ways that I didn't think it would. And I saw a lot of myself in the show. And I highly, highly, highly recommend this show. The next one we got is Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I can never recommend the show enough. It is possibly the greatest TV comedy, still going. I think it started in 2005, and I don't remember how many seasons we're on now, but I think it's like 15 or 16. Always Sunny follows the gang, the owners of an unsuccessful Patty's Pub, a group of degenerates who loves nothing more than to scheme, conspire, and mostly revel in each other's misery, and possibly the greatest, like I said, the greatest comedy on TV. The last show is Shorzy. Now, if you guys are familiar with the show Letterkenny, this is a spinoff. It focuses on the titular character of Shorzy, played by Jared Kiso. As he moves to Sudbury to take a job with a struggling AAA level ice hockey team, the Sudbury Bulldogs. Now, Shorzy was the smallest character. I shouldn't say smallest. He had the smallest part in the show Letterkenny, where he was just a super obnoxious guy. And somehow they gave him a spinoff and they turn him into the most likable character, even though he's still a douchebag.
Shorzy. I don't even know if I've never heard of that one. Sounds interesting.
Good pick.
It is. That would definitely be for people who grew up playing hockey, were in the culture of, you know, growing up and playing and still do. And it's a very Canadian show. So it's got the same flow and rhythm as Letterkenny and some jokes. The only difference between the two shows is that Shorzy actually has a purpose. Like there's an actual plot to the show, where Letterkenny was just like a bunch of sketches thrown together from a YouTube channel. So
Craig, I want to go back to Reservation Dogs because I mean, anytime I can talk about this show, I love to. What sure. I mean, if you want to, what specifically in the show when you're watching it that you related to, that you enjoyed?
Oh my God. Every single time, like, something happened to Bear, because Bear grew up with a single mom. I grew up with a single mom. You know, I'm not going to say I'm you know, like Native American, but I have roots in the Native American culture, and I've
you got it in your blood
a little bit, but not enough to be like, you know what, I'm Native American, you know. But I've been to the reservation before. That's like, I've been up north, I've been there, and I've seen the culture and the lifestyle. So I that kind of seen that, and I definitely they did a really good job of presenting the lifestyle of living on a reservation. Just the whole family dynamic, and you know, family is like a huge part of that show, and it definitely, I could relate to that, as my family was pretty close, and when I went up to the reservation, it was like, you know, your family, even though I'm like the whitest person up there, they're like, no, you're still family. So it was nice.
I agree with that. I mean, I think that also just, I mean, I said this when we watched Killers of the Flower Moon, I just felt like I was kind of eyes open to a whole historical tragedy massacre that I didn't know about and maybe weren't interested. Same with Res Dogs. It just was like, you know, that whole group dynamic of them and their friendships and when they fought and, you know, when they were so close and their friend that passed mm-hmm. away. And it just, and just like the moments that it would kind of have like a side episode where it was on the adults and not the teens, or just like a cultural and brother, sister, aunt, and like just all of it was so good. Like I just loved learning and just finding the humor and then just like true sweetness too, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Good picks. All right. I'm going to go ahead and go off into my Hulu ones. So I'm going to do What We Do in the Shadows, Only Murders in the Building, and Under the Banner of Heaven, which I'm only now realizing the titles of all of these are dark. So we'll start with What We Do in the Shadows, which I have briefly talked about. It's a comedy horror mockumentary created by Jermaine Clement, follows four vampire roommates who live on Staten Island, based on the 2014 film of the same name. I think if I had to be like, Kayla, what type of media is your humor? Like if I had to kind of pinpoint my humor, and is everything that is involved in What We Do in the Shadows. It's like the horror aspect of like these vampires and their like insane things that they do and act. It's like the humor of it, the like physical comedy. I mean, the smart comedy too, and some of the plot lines. And sometimes in some seasons, they just completely reinvent how certain characters are portrayed, and you're like, how are they going to make that work? And they do. The acting is just fantastic. I find myself doing like the voices when I'm in my house, and just, I love the show. Like it is coming to an end. So the sixth season will be the last season. I'm not sure if I'm sure that's going to come out later today, or maybe later this year or early next year. But I just love the show. It's so fun to talk about. And Craig, I know it's a show that you love as well. So great show.
Yeah, I love that show too. We started watching from season one, and we get very excited when the new seasons come out and binge it and rewatch the episodes twice a week. It's like you said, it's just goofy. It's just super goofy, and it is very smart with how they do relationships between each other and their surroundings. And it's a very playful show.
To me, it's like, if I had to pick two shows that it blends together to make, it's Buffy meets Parks and Recreation, I think is the kind of comedy stylings I put together for that. Really good show. Okay, I'm going to next talk about Only Murders in the Building, which is a comedy mystery show about a trio of strangers played by Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Selena Gomez, who all share an interest in true crime podcasts, who become friends when they're investigating basically a series of murders in their building, and then they kind of form their own podcast on the cases. I feel like this show is very much talked about, but I still find myself hearing people who haven't, you know, oh, that's on my list, or yeah, maybe next week I'll get to it. But I highly recommend. I personally was not really a big fan of Martin Short, Steve Martin going into it. Certainly of their like, you know, comedic legacy and all that. I just hadn't seen like, let's say, a ton of Steve Martin things, and I wasn't sure if I'd kind of was on brand with their humor. But all of it works together, because I honestly, Martin Short and Steve Martin, it's clear they're like best friends, so the chemistry works really well. And Selena Gomez is like a perfect kind of third partner in the show. So I think this is a great show for people who love comedy and people who love true crime podcasts, you know. Great stuff. All right, lastly, I'm going to talk about Under the Banner of Heaven. which I think was talked about when it first came out, but I don't really hear too much on it. It is based on a nonfiction book. It stars Andrew Garfield and Jill Birmingham as two detectives investigating a brutal murder and its connections to Mormonism. I would say it's like a drama, an intense drama. Certainly there's a crime theme, but it's a lot of it based off of this Mormon detective, and these murders are kind of related to the church. And so it's kind of him having this conflict of the belief of what his church represents and the people and the ideals, and then just like grisly murder that happened, and him kind of having that reconciliation of faith. And Andrew Garfield is so good in this show. He doesn't do a lot of TV. I love him in films, but I thought it was really nice to spend, you know, a few seasons with him in this intense role, similar to the role he played with the like super religious Christian soldier. So much so that he got asked why he tends to play so many religious characters. And he's just kind of like, that's how the dice roll. But he's fantastic in this. So highly recommend. Those are my Hulu picks.
I don't think I have seen any of your picks, Kayla. So, I'll have to potentially check some
very
of
those non-committal.
Mormon detective sounds really good, though. That should be like a comic book character.
A Mormon detective. Mm-hmm. I think Kayla just really likes Andrew
Garfield. I love Andrew Garfield. That is
and
true.
And he's amazing.
And so. I mean, he is going to be in a romantic movie with the one and only Florence Pugh. So
who's that?
You know, lucky me. Oh, she's an actress.
You may spontaneously combust before that point. I don't know.
Oh, is she good? Have I seen her in things?
I'll bring over the filmography when I come over later. Okay,
all right, I'll go into my Hulu picks here. Now, honestly, Hulu was the toughest one for me because a lot of the shows that I had on my list of Hulu shows I enjoy, we've already talked about or I knew were going to be mentioned. So this was a little bit difficult for me to get a list together. First, though, is A Murder at the End of the World. So this is a show that I recommended to Kayla and she will not finish because she doesn't like good shows. So this is, it's 7 episodes, 1 season. It's out now, like highly recommend it. It's about a Generation Z amateur sleuth who attempts to solve a murder at a secluded retreat of highly influential people. And it ties back to, it's a murder mystery in the middle of nowhere near the Arctic, essentially. And she, the main character, Darby Hart, is somebody who wrote a book on how she was like an amateur sleuth that was trying to solve a series of connected murders around like near her general town, I guess. So she was doing that, wrote a book on it, and then gets involved with these people and is asked to go to this retreat. And then a murder happens. And how do they solve the murder? It's a really well done show. Clive Owen is in it playing basically like an Elon Musk type character. And you have all of these kind of big wigs and she's the one kind of a fish out of water, but also is the best person to try to solve this given the circumstances. So I love a murder mystery. I'm a sucker for those. I like being able to, at the end of every episode, have a whole bunch of different theories. Oh, I wonder this. Oh, they mentioned this. That much tie back to this. Or maybe we'll get a flashback that shows that these two people know each other from before. And they really dive into just throwing you little tidbits here and there, maybe red herrings to lead you one way or the other. And then they wrap it all up at the end very well. So cannot recommend that more than enough, even though Kayla doesn't have good taste in TV.
What was that one called again?
A Murder at the End of the World.
Okay, that sounds really good.
I'm going to return to it. So check it out. Don't write me off quite yet because as I've expressed to you, for some reason, crime dramas are hard for me to totally get into. I don't know why.
And when I was doing my list, I realized that most of my shows were crime dramas. So I tried to like switch it so they're not just all okay, a whodunit.
Murder.
I think it's like I don't like them for the same reason you like them, where you like at the end of episode going like who, and I'm like so irritated, like who did it? Like what was the end? Who, you know, like that almost drives me insane, but I'm going to return to it. So
patience, Kayla.
I'm known for my patience, yes.
I mean, it's a spunky woman lead who is going against the societal norms and trying to do things her own way. That seems like right up your alley. And she's got colorful
living
hair.
Living proof that genre sometimes overplays my typical interests.
Fair point. If it was Florence Pugh, you would have watched it 8 times by now.
All that anyway. Is my sore point. So yes, absolutely.
Next show on my list is White Collar. This is a throwback. This is a USA classic. Came out in 2009. 6 seasons, 81 total episodes. It's just a really fun show about a white collar criminal, Neil Caffrey, who agrees to use his expertise as a brilliant art thief, con man to help the FBI in exchange for getting out of prison. So he's basically like on a work release program, and he has a handler played by Tim DeKay, Peter Burke, whose wife is Tiffany Thiessen, formerly of Saved by the Bell, Kelly Kapowski. Let's go. And he is working with the FBI agent. Every episode is, all right, there's one main thing they're trying to solve, and he's using his expertise of, oh, I think the con man maybe did it this way. Maybe I can go undercover at this, or maybe I can make a forgery of this. And you have the episode by episode like theme, and then there's also through lines and how he's really trying to use this to, you know, relieve his entire prison sentence, but it doesn't always work out that way. And it's just really a fun watch. You can watch in the background or kind of binge through, and something me and my roommates in college just got into and started cruising through this pretty quickly. So, you know, not the not going to win you any Emmy awards, but a real fun show. The last on my list is Little Fires Everywhere. If you didn't see this, this came out a few years ago, 1 season, 8 episodes. Reese Witherspoon plays this person who's got a perfect family in this beautiful town until Kerry Washington and her daughter move into town, and then secrets start being revealed and Reese Witherspoon's house gets burned to the ground. What is happening? Just a good show. It's 1 season. It's got Big Little Lies vibes to it, which makes sense because Reese Witherspoon's in both of them. So it was a good watch. I thought they may come back for a season 2, but they did not. So 8 episodes. And another one of these where there's little secrets being revealed and you're trying to piece everything together before the actual reveal happens in the final episode.
Good picks. I haven't seen any of those.
Well, White Collar, the main character there, played by Matt Bomer, he, like, just watching that show, it's like, I wish I was as cool as this dude. Like, he is just super suave, and oh, he can all these forgeries, he knows everything about the history of art ever, and it's just like, oh yeah, well, that's a 13th century thing, but if his brushstrokes go this way, I'm like, how do you learn that shit? Like, even if I studied every day for years on end, I would never be able to pick up any of that. And just inspirational, really, to be a con man felon.
And Matt Bomer continues to play that kind of role. I recently watched the newer show Fellow Travelers, which was fantastic, and he plays a similar character in this, just like the suave version of this couple, and that he tends to be the one that, like, you know, can politically connect and that, you know, all this type of stuff. So probably a similar vibe. He's so good in it, so, and he looks beautiful, so like there, that's kind of like where he's not gonna play like some haggard character, you know what I mean? He's gonna be like, wow. So he's fantastic.
He's a good looking
yes,
man.
Yes, he is.
And he plays like the womanizer too, even though he is gay, right? But it's like a Neil Patrick Harris in How I Met Your Mother thing.
He is gay. And I think it took like quite a few seasons of White Collar, like he was in the closet. And then I think in the later half of the show, he came out. Huh. Yep.
Yeah. Recommend. I'm telling you, I'm giving you prestige TV. I'm giving you fun TV. I'm giving you murder mysteries. I'm all over the place here, guys.
Not to toot your own horn or anything. All right. Let's go ahead.
What was that?
Nothing.
Kayla? You want to try that again?
Let's go ahead and get.
True for your own horn.
I'm not a crook. Anyways. Okay. Let's go ahead and get to our Max TV show.
Nixon.
Let's go ahead and
we're off the rails.
We are. All right. All right, guys. Let's go ahead and get to our Max TV show recommendations, starting from the top. Go ahead, Craig.
Yeah. We're doing Max. All right. From the top, we're doing the best TV show that I think I've watched in a long time. And that's Barry. Barry is Bill Hader, plays Barry Berkman, a depressed former private first class from the U.S. Marines and Afghanistan veteran who works as a hitman but is drawn towards human connection in an acting class. It is the weirdest show, but it is such a dark comedy, and it is the most entertaining thing I have ever watched, probably.
Ever?
For like a 30 minute format, yeah.
Hold on, I just want to celebrate Craig going like it was the most probably at the end. Still can't commit. Can't commit.
I tried
it. It is the best, maybe pretty good, possibly top, maybe top 20, 30, top 100 things that I've seen since I turned of adult.
It's not for everyone, but for me personally, I really, really enjoyed it. Next up, we have Chernobyl. The gripping miniseries tells the powerful story of the worst man-made accident in history. We all know about Chernobyl, right? Basically, this tells the tragedy from the moment of early morning explosion through the chaos and loss of life in the ensuing days, weeks, and months. This was a very, what's the word? I'm blanking.
Gritty, dark.
Just a powerful show that showed how, you know, messy the whole thing was and the chaos that ensued. My next on the list is Righteous Gemstones. Have you guys seen this one?
I have not seen Righteous Gemstones, not one single episode.
I watched the first season and I really liked it. I like his other shows too, although I can't say like I committed the whole series. I just haven't gone back in, but it's pretty fun. It's really funny.
Yeah, for those who are like, what is Righteous Gemstones? Well, it's it depicts a family of televangelists and megachurch pastors led by widowed patriarch Eli Gemstone, played by John Goodman. Eli and his immature children, Jesse, Danny McBride, Judy, played by Edie Patterson, and Kelvin, played by Adam Devine, lead opulent lives funded by the church donations. This is a wild show. This is essentially Succession, but with a megachurch. That's how I would sell the show.
You got to blend it with like a ridiculous comedy.
Once you say Succession,
comedy,
you know I'm in. So,
yeah, it's the Danny McBride comedy, but yeah. It's take that with a grin.
His comedy is like it's hit absurd. Or miss for me. Sometimes I'm just like, this is so stupid, I can't deal with it. And sometimes I laugh my ass off, but I can never tell which is which.
I don't know if you guys remember this, but I have a very specific memory that I don't remember if it was like end of high school or college when it came out. But one of the shows about being a teacher, you guys came over to my house and we watched like an episode or two. And that was like an early start, I guess, to the Danny McBride series for me.
I haven't seen his other shows, so I haven't watched Vice Principals and I haven't watched Eastbound and Down.
Eastbound and Down, I watched the first season, maybe two seasons. It was ridiculous, but done so well and hilarious.
So a Danny McBride show.
Okay. Yeah, he was the lead and like a lead creator in it too. Yeah, it was like right up his alley.
So I was watching this show and Minx kind of side, but like they're around the same time. And I don't know which show had more dicks in it.
Okay.
I'm just going to.
Now, Minx would have been on my list if it was still on Max, but that has been
shuffled over to Showtime, I think, right? Or Stars?
Oh, yeah. If it's Showtime.
I got bought out by somebody else.
Paramount? I don't know.
No, I think it's on Stars.
Oh, okay.
I think you're right with Stars now.
Great picks.
One of the services I don't have.
Yeah.
Yet. All right, good picks. I'm going to go ahead and get to mine on Max. I'm going to do It's a Sin, Los Espookies, and Love Has Won, The Cult of Mother God. Wow, what a variety here. So It's a Sin is a British drama set during 1981 and 1991. It depicts the lives of gay men and their friends during the HIV/AIDS crisis. This miniseries is only 5 episodes. What I found really interesting beyond like the great acting that is in this series, it's very, as you can imagine, emotional, but there's a lot of humor to it, is that a lot of times HIV, like popular film shows, like tend to be the American experience. And I just found this really interesting to be occurring in Britain. So it was, you know, kind of what was it like on the other side, obviously with a different government. We know what happens over here, but, you know, there's not a lot of movies and TV shows depicting what it was like in other countries. And so I thought that was really interesting. And I highly recommend, if you're looking for definitely some tears in this series, but really well done. The next one is Los Spookies. It's a Spanish language TV series created by Julio Torres. Stars Anna Fabrego and Fred Armisen, I believe. Right? Is that how you say it? Shrugs. Okay, we'll go with it. Follows a group of friends trying to turn their love of horror into a successful business where most of the jobs consist of fabricating horror film-like situations and tricking people into thinking they are real. If you're kind of... First of all, everyone should be team subtitles, but if you're not and you're like, I don't know if I want to watch a show in a different language and have subtitles, please, please make the jump, because you're barely noticing that when you're watching this show. It is so funny, this group of friends, and they just have like weird, it's kind of little What We Do in the Shadows, and that suddenly like weird spooky things happen that wouldn't be true in real life. So you're like, did a demon just pass by? And they get into like different shenanigans every episode, trying to create these like big horror sets and scare people in it. And then just, you have weird characters kind of jump in and out. So I started watching the show and I loved it. It's two seasons. So I definitely recommend just suck it up and turn on your subtitles. Next, I'm going to talk about is Love Has Won the Cult of Mother God. This is a pretty recent docuseries.
Jesus, Kayla, with these shows you are recommending, uh-huh. How many are like God or religion based? This is insane.
Good point. I don't know. Horror and religion tend to go hand in hand, and those are things I love.
I guess so.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Yes. Hashtag therapy, y'all. This is about an American religious movement that was led by Amy Carlson. Have you guys heard about this story, the Amy Carlson?
No.
Okay. Nope. So she was the one that was found mummified by her followers in her home, and which was a crazy news story about this kind of cult. They still kind of continue on without her. And it's basically a series about, you know, her, Amy, as the creator who went as she said she was the creator of the universe, how she got people to take her online classes, how she created this house of followers, and then basically how she ended up dying. So insane series. And they have what I think is interesting is not like a bunch of people post cult where they're like, that was batshit, can't believe I did it. Immersed in it is a bunch of people that are still following her, still believing it, and they're like, nothing's changing them, they are absolutely committed to it. So it's fascinating hearing like people go, oh my god, I thank god I got out when I did, and then people who are like, she lives on in the universe and we always remember Mother God. And I'm like, what the fuck? Cults are huge, y'all. The end. Stunned silence.
I don't even know how to react to that.
I think we react by going to my list.
Oh, okay. Whatever. The cult fans know.
I think Kayla's trying to start a cult. That's what all I'm getting out of that.
Will you join my cult, you guys? So that's a no on joining my cult then. I'll think of a really cool name, you guys.
Kayla's cult doesn't count.
Oh, yeah. Come up with a name. We've been playing D&D for 4 years and you haven't been able to come up with a name for our D&D group. But if your cult, if it's a really catchy one, maybe it'll get our attention.
Maybe I'll transfer it to D&D then as a placeholder. All right, Justin, what are your Max picks?
All right. My first pick on Max is The Undoing. The Undoing is a whodunit story. I guess I love these. When the life of a wealthy New York family turns upside down after getting involved in a murder case. So it's 6 episodes. It came out in 2020. It was when HBO was going through like these mini series, 6-8 episodes with big name stars. So it has Nicole Kidman, Hugh Grant, Donald Sutherland. It is a murder mystery. And you really are, it's tough to get your bearings the whole time because they have the husband is a suspect and he's not a suspect, but you can't tell. You're hearing, seeing stories from different people's perspectives, which I always love in those types of shows where you can kind of see who the reliable versus unreliable narrators are. And it just kept me on my toes the whole time. And I never really knew where it was going until the last episode. So highly recommend if you're into those types of, you know, whodunit, trying to figure things out stories. Did either of you see that or no? No.
No.
It's very similar, not similar in vibes, but the way they tell the story to Mare of Easttown, another HBO murder mystery with Kate Winslet, that just missed out on my list because I have too many murder mysteries already. So
I was going to say murder mystery playlist. I think you should make one so I can watch all of them, because I don't, that's not my, I don't think I've seen any that you've recommended so far. So I got to watch all of these.
Well, next on my list is The White Lotus. Have you seen the two seasons of The White Lotus? Well, those are kind of murder mysteries as well.
Something else.
You're talking about me with murders and religion as you list every fucking murder mystery known to man on these channels.
It's not like full murder.
Just partially murdered. A little bit.
Just a little bit.
Well, both. There's two seasons of White Lotus, 14 total episodes. This is Mike White created them. And it's an anthology murder mystery series where they are separate, but not entirely separate. So the first two seasons, there was one returning character played by Jennifer Coolidge. And it's just a fun show to watch because you get to go to these really extravagant, cool places that they travel to. Like they had Hawaii. I think they had Italy. They're going to Thailand for season three. And you see these super wealthy people living their extravagant lifestyles, and then shit hits the fan, and it's just a fun watch. It's got had a lot of good actors come through it. Jennifer Coolidge that I mentioned, Murray Abraham, Tom Hollander, Aubrey Plaza, Sydney Sweeney, Murray Bartlett, really fun performances. Definitely check it out. And it's always also fun to watch those, like when it's winter in Syracuse, watch these shows where they go to these really cool exotic locations and you can just be like, I wish I was there with them. Mm-hmm. So, and Mike White's just pretty much great at anything he does. So highly recommend.
Okay. White Lotus.
My third, except for Max Survivor, show is not a murder mystery. He was on, I did not see that season of Survivor. So I'll have to check it out. My third show is not a murder mystery, folks, but it is a show I cannot go without putting on my list. It is Industry. You've heard me talk about it on the pod a little bit. We have not done any deep dives, but two seasons, 16 episodes out so far. Third season is coming out here in the next couple of months. It's about recent college graduates that are trying to make their way in a prestigious London investment bank. And it follows a handful of different key characters throughout. There's drug, sex, backstabbing, wealth, power, different power dynamics, a great young cast of actors in it. It's just got everything you need, right? It's just a lot of fun. It's interesting. I am drawn to these finance type shows, and this is one that's done very well. And this is where Mayala got her big break. She's been in a lot of big movies since she appeared on this show as the lead, Harper Stern, who graduated from Binghamton University in the show. So nice little tie in here to the Northeast United States. Highly recommend. I think I got Kayla into it last season, right, Kayla? So you're ready to watch season three with me?
I'm afraid to speak because you're going to comment on the fact that I start a lot of your shows and don't finish them. No, remember
so
my
there's
problem.
Not enough religion or horror.
Stop. Stop.
That's there's the no problem. Cults. It's too fun and exciting of a show.
No.
It's too entertaining.
Kayla, it's about a financial cult.
There you go. That's a good way to put it.
Fine. When it comes to financial, like, set, you remember how long did it take me to get in Succession? It took a bit. Like, this is so, to me, like, when they start talking about the stocks and then the all that stuff, my brain just, like, completely, I'm zoning into another world. So
it's the hamster dance in her head.
Yes.
It starts a little bit more, I think, finance heavy because they're trying to get you into the mindset of this type of world, how intense it is, how cutthroat it is at one of these investment banks, like right out of college. But it transitions, like as you move through the first season and especially into the second season, into the relationships of the characters with each other, with their superiors, with their subordinates, and how that all plays out. Because as you can imagine, in an investment bank, there's a lot of sketchy shit happening that's not always above board.
What?
So, yeah, I know. Crazy. And there may or may not be a death early on in the first season, but I'm not going to.
Spoiler alert. I haven't seen any episode of that, so thanks. Thanks for that.
Watch it.
Craig, you need to make time.
You have no idea where it's coming from.
You need to make time for the things that we love, Craig. We're just going to need you to put in a little time with something here. We're really suffering, okay? just something.
Watch as much TV as us. Just spend 8 hours a day watching TV like Kayla and I do.
I couldn't. Gosh. I can't.
How hard is that?
It's pretty hard.
It's just a part-time job. Or full-time job, basically.
Just pick up a controller, Craig, or click on a button, or anything, Craig. Anything of a shared interest that we have, okay?
Stop being a swarly, Craig.
Yeah, we had you on
I'm
for
here.
This.
I'm here. What do you want?
We actually want you to answer to these accusations while we're on the pod. So great recommendations.
This is actually an intervention.
It is. Like what we like, Craig. Okay.
Oh my
God. Anywho, I think that wraps it up for our recommendations for TV shows, both on Netflix, on Hulu and Max. Let's go ahead and get to our Swirly of the Week. Pew. Craig, it's very fitting that you are on here on this episode because the last two Swirly of the Weeks have been you for Justin and I. So it's fitting that you're on for the third to count. Are you your own Swirly or not? And tell me what it is.
I can be. I'm not, but I can make up a story if you guys want me to, just to play along and be like, you know what? Yeah, I'm definitely the Swirly this week.
No, it has to happen organically, Craig. So go ahead.
It actually happened, but I'm
I love it. I love it. No, go ahead.
I'll go into that afterwards. But my Swirly of the Week is going to be Larian Studios, the creators of Baldur's Gate. Now, as you've heard the Swirly of the week.
Craig, you've heard of Baldur's Gate? That's great.
Two episodes ago, I think it was, where Kayla griped about me not playing enough Baldur's Gate. Because I, actually work a lot and don't have time to, yeah.
No, don't we all? But find the time. Go ahead, Craig.
So the reason they're my Swirly of the week is they delay their updates for Mac users and PCs. So the PC update comes out. The Mac user update comes out probably a good 2 days later. My wife and I have been playing the co-op campaign, the one that we started and haven't surpassed Kayla yet. And we haven't been able to play since because the updates haven't been coinciding with each other. So they're not, don't distract me like that. What are you doing? The updates haven't been simultaneous. So while my game updates, hers is still lag behind, so we can't play together because there's two different versions of the game. My organic Swirly of the Week is me buying a gaming chair a week ago, and I put it together. I'm sitting in it right now. Now, this is just for you two because you guys can see this. So this is the gaming chair that I'm using. And I put it together, and it took about a good hour and a half, 2 hours to put it together. And I tightened all the bolts and I put in all the brackets and stuff afterwards. So there's like covers that cover the bolts and the nuts or whatever. And you tighten them up with the Allen wrench. So it was tight for a good 5 days. And then after I started using it, it loosened up. Now I can't tighten it because all the stuff has snapped into place and I can probably get in there with a screwdriver, but I'm too lazy to do it.
Sounds about right.
That's my Swirly. Who's next?
That is your comedic Swirly there. Oh, man.
That's story time with your friend Swirly.
And we love it. We love it here on the pod.
Do you know? I don't know if you do.
You know, whatever happens to you, Craig, it's going to be comedic in nature sometimes. And that's the better of things that happen. So I'm glad that,
I'm entertainment at my own expense for you. That's all it
you
is.
You are. And I think you always shall be. All right. My Swirly of the Week is really just a disappointing news fact I found out when I was, kind of creating my list here. I was looking at, I will say movies before I re-remembered that it was TV shows we were talking about. But I was like, I'll talk about the movie The Old Guard with Charlize Theron. That was like a really good action movie because the sequel is coming out this year. So I'm like, that'd be great because you can watch the second one this year. It had filmed like a year or 2 years ago at this point. And then I found out when I looked it up that it has gotten pulled off the 2024 roster. So similarly, I guess, to other Netflix type movies that just for whatever reason, post-production, I don't know, delays in just the time frame from the first movie or not, has just, they just pull them. You've certainly seen that in Max, where they just pull already filmed and, you know, post-production shows and movies. So that's just a super bummer, because this whole time I'm thinking like a sequel is nigh. I think I did briefly mention The Old Guard in one of our drafts and you guys hadn't seen it, but it just is like a fun, immortal action kind of movie. I think Charlize Theron crushes anything where she's playing like the badass action chick in a movie. And such a bummer, Netflix, for not giving us a sequel, especially when we know it exists, because Charlize Theron like did social media about it and it was always intended to come out this year. So major bummer.
They can't afford to put it out with their $20 a month subscriptions.
I guess not. Rude.
All right. Well, my swirly of the week will be pretty quick here. It's going to be TikTok. So TikTok recently is getting under some fire here, because Universal is pulling their music catalog from TikTok. And what does their catalog include? Billie Eilish, Taylor Swift, Drake. Pretty big hit to TikTok. And they initially were known for providing a lot better like negotiations and rates with the artist and the catalogs here than other platforms, but apparently that has started to stall out because they cannot reach a deal in negotiations. And I think it's midnight tonight, or maybe it was midnight last night, they pulled their entire catalog. So
oops.
See what type of impacts that has on TikTok.
Well, everyone's going to be having like not the actual song, but like the Joe Schmo who's like singing the same song into their mic. So it's like the poor man's version.
It's the Kidz Bop version of the song. Yes.
Yeah, brutal.
The Super Bowl is in a little over a week and Taylor Swift will be there rooting on Travis Kelce. So they're probably missing out on just thousands and millions of videos of people wanting to use Taylor Swift songs. So
I wonder if they'll...
And she's pretty litigious.
I wonder if they'll... Yeah, she is. I wonder if they'll come to terms, though, like kind of like Taylor Swift pulled all of her music off of Apple and then kind of made an agreement, so...
They always come to terms, right? Because, you know, one of these... TikTok needs the artist to stay on their platform in order for them to be relevant to a point. So it eventually it'll all get worked out, I assume. It's just not a great time for TikTok for them to be pulled right now.
Definitely not. So...
I was going to say, I might be one of the only people who's still not on TikTok.
But. Oh, wow.
It's addicting. Don't get on it. Well, get on it, though, to follow Wrong Opinions Only on TikTok. Ooh, so there you go.
Shameless plug. I like that.
Do it. We are going to start posting more when we are not crazy busy with everything else we've ever done in our
that
life.
That might be the 12th of never. But yeah, Craig, go ahead and get into something else that we enjoy that, you know. I'm sure you'll jump right on. All right, let's go ahead and get to our friendship question of the week, which is, I love you, Craig, which is out of all of our picks that we gave to listeners and to each other, what will you watch first? And it can't be something that you recommended. You can't say I'm going to watch White Collar for the seventh time. So
can we do a rapid fire of what
we can.
Said? And since
yep,
I'm talking,
I'll go first. For Netflix, I have Griselda, The Queen's Gambit, The Ultimatum, Queer Love. For Hulu, I have What We Do in the Shadows, Only Murders in the Building, Under the Banner of Heaven. And for Max, I have It's a Sin, Los Espookies, and Love Has Won, The Cult of Mother God.
I keep thinking you're screwing up when you say Los Espookies. I'm like, hey, like, can you speak English here? But intentionally not English. All right. My list was Peaky Blinders, Shameless, The 100, A Murder at the End of the World, White Collar, Little Fires Everywhere, The Undoing, The White Lotus, and Industry.
Okay, so my list is Ozark, The Witcher, Mindhunter, Shorzy, Reservation Dogs, Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Barry, Chernobyl, Righteous Gemstones.
All right. I will go first here. It's a very tough list from Craig. Kayla, I'm not really too worried about most of the shows that she recommended. But I'm going to go with...
You've probably seen everything that I've recommended.
Most of them, except for Reservation Dogs and Barry. And they have both been on the list. But I'm going to go Reservation Dogs. I think enough people have recommended it. You talked it up pretty well here. So that's going to be the one I jump to first.
Okay. I'll go next. I'll think Murder at the End of the World sounded very intriguing. That was just wild.
Yeah, check it out. 7 episodes. It's a fun one.
Kayla?
Okay. None of mine. That's fine. I'm not sad about that at all. I'm going to go ahead and... Sorry, crime ladies. I'm for you and they're not for me. Okay. There's some that I wish I would say, like White Lotus, because I gave that a try when the first season came out and I just couldn't get into it. And I hate not watching things that are popular. But really, the thing I would probably watch sooner than any of those would be Peaky Blinders, I think.
Watch. Ooh, all right. Yeah, get into Peaky Blinders.
Peaky Blinders is really good. You'll love it because the whole British aspect of it, you'll love it.
Yeah, it seems like a show up my alley. I don't know why I didn't watch it initially, but my mom actually recently got into it and she's freaking praising it. So I'm like, is it too late to get into Peaky Blinders? No, it isn't. And I just may.
Nope.
I waited forever because people kept saying it's so good. And I was like, I don't know. This looks kind of ridiculous. And then I was like, whatever. It's been on the list for forever. Cillian Murphy. And I watched the first episode. I was like, I'm in. I'm locked in for a while now. And it just keeps getting progressively better. I'm intrigued to see how the last 2 seasons go because the first 4 were great. And the stakes keep getting higher and higher. So, and they keep you on your toes. There's like shit that happens where you're like, oh, damn. And without giving any spoilers, that's how I will leave it.
Yeah. Without giving out any spoilers, the whole show is how the hell is he going to get out of this one? And then he does.
Or does,
he?
Are you saying there's a mystery afoot? Uh-oh.
Murder? Mystery,
no,
perhaps?
Got me again. No.
there's so much murder.
Oh, my God. Oh, well, no. We like murder. I'm so into murder.
Stuff. Yeah. There's just a little bit of mystery. Yeah, a little bit of mystery.
I love a good murder.
Yeah, a lot of murder, a little bit of mystery.
Okay, right up my alley. I think that's a fine ending to our episode. We went a little long today, but of course there are so many great shows we want to recommend to you, and hopefully this satisfies people who are asking us, what should I watch this weekend? So please check out these shows on Netflix, Hulu, and Max. We'll do another episode sometime covering some of the other streaming sites so you know what to watch. As always, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Well, that's it for this episode of Wrong Opinions Only. Please follow us on Instagram at Wrong Opinions Only and on Twitter at Wrong Opinions JK, where we'll be dropping some clues and hints to upcoming episodes. Until then, JK out.